Is the repeat offender here? Yes, sir. Can we take that out? All right. Who's handling that from staff? Okay. Captain Rose, how are you? All right. You swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
Good morning, staff and commissioner. Captain Jim Rose, supervisor of law enforcement division in the northern area. Today I'm presenting to you numerous violations that have been tried and adjudicated in the county of Westmoreland. The defendant in these charges is James Calvin Newsom, commercial registration 4432. If I may, I'll list the charges. And all of these charges, Mr. Newsom was convicted of. Number one is dredging on private oyster grounds without a dredge permit. Removal of oysters from a condemned area without a relay permit. Unlawful harvesting of oysters outside of an open area. Taking oysters after sunset. Failure to tag oysters. And impede lawful fishing. Staff's recommendation is to revoke Mr. Newsom's commercial fishing license for a period of 2 years. The officer that was in charge of many of these violations we brought this morning is Officer Brad Ramsey. These were extenuating circumstances and charges and plea deals with Westmoreland County Sheriff's Office. And also, Officer Brad Ramsey does have a narrative, somewhat of an investigative report that we would like to give the commissioners and Mr. Jim Breeden for your review.
Thank you. Captain Rose, can you tell me what courts were these cases heard in? Were they all heard in the same court?
They were all heard in Westmoreland County.
Westmoreland County.
Was that General District Court, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll hear from Officer Ramsey.
Yes, sir. I think Captain Rose did a good job of summarizing the charges. I'm really just here to answer any questions that the commission may have today.
Any questions for Officer Ramsey? What was the attitude of Mr. Newsom?
I never had any problems with Mr. Newsom. He was always very cooperative with me, willing to talk to me. I never had any problems with Mr. Newsom as far as non-compliance issues.
All right. Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, we originally heard there was going to be some narrative of the or a report. Is there a written report that's coming to us?
If you would the commission like a copy of that.
Sure.
I think so.
This is more of a narrative than an actual incident report.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you've shared that with Mr. Newsom? Since we've not seen this, we're going to take a few minutes to read through it, and then we'll hear from Mr. Newsom.
Is that all the commission needs from me?
Just stand by for questions. At this point, any questions of Officer Ramsey from the commission? Ms. Fox.
Did you record these comments, or did you just go by memory?
No, sir. They're recorded.
You recorded?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Breeden, I assume you're here to represent?
Mr. Robinson.
Is there another question?
I did have a follow-up question. So just about this record, there was a buyer involved, Mr. Wright. Has he already been prosecuted for those violations? Does he currently hold any, does he or his business currently hold any Virginia license?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Reed?
I'm James Breeden from Irvington, and I represent Mr. Newsom. I have, if you all would like them, certified copies of all of the convictions, and we tell you we agree we were convicted of six VMRC chart-related charges in the Westmoreland County General District Court. I've got certified copies for Mr. Travelstead and copies of those certified copies for you all.
Okay. Thank you.
And then at the bottom, there are seven copies of an Oyster lease. Mr. Newsom is not here to deny wrongdoing. He's already admitted in the General District Court of Westmoreland County that he was guilty of each of those charges. The more serious charge, which is actually been tried in the circuit court, is a felony for stealing William Allen's oysters. It was a gentleman named William Allen. He stole the oysters on December 24, 2011, from cages of William Allen, who happens to be a second cousin of his, but that's immaterial. And I know the commission is cracking down on oyster poaching, and I know your commissioner has said that you all are not going to stand for it, and I fully understand that. James Calvin Newsom has been a waterman in Westmoreland all his life. The six VMRC charges, I would like to explain to you all the background of them. There are two important dates. One is October 18, 2011. On that date, he was charged with unlawfully dredging oysters under 28.2516. That was reduced to 517 or amended for taking oysters off of unmarked ground. And then he was also pled guilty to taking oysters off of condemned ground. Now, I want to show you, if you look at the oyster invoice there, he was taking those oysters off of his ground. He and Ed Arnest, and Mr. Arnest is here to testify, that ground he and Mr. Newsom work, it's 40.67 acres, and they were not taken off of other people's grounds for those two charges. Mr. Arnest will tell you that they have this oyster ground, they've been working it, and that the VMRC had a condemned sign up the creek from their ground, up near the head of the creek. But unknowns to them, the condemned sign was moved down to the mouth of the creek. Now, the way they come into Gardner Creek to their oyster shore is from up the creek. So they never, they'd always known that the condemned sign was above them, and when they would go out to look at their ground, they didn't realize the sign had been moved out to the mouth of the creek. Ed Arnest will tell you that he and James Newsom had talked about going down and seeing how their oysters were doing on the ground. And their boat was up the creek, and Ed couldn't go at the last minute, and so James went, and he went out there, and he hand-tonged up two bushels of oysters, and he found out they were pretty good. So he immediately calls Ed Arnest and says, "Hey, these look pretty good." And Ed says, "Well, look, get two bushels, one for you, one for me. Bring them ashore, and we'll look at them, and if I think they're good, we agree they're good, we'll get a permit and dredge them up." And when he gets to the dock, they're the VMRC policemen, and they write him up for those two violations. But those oysters were taken off of his ground. He owns, he and Ed Arnest own it together. You can see from the invoice. And that's how that came about. And he, but he pled guilty to those two charges of taking those two bushels up because they violated the law. He should have gotten a permit before he took one oyster off. But he didn't, that was wrong. But they were not taking oysters off anybody else's ground. They're off their own. And the two charges relate to the same two bushels of oysters, taking them off of what then the Jim ground, which he didn't know about. But it was. Now, the second set of charges happened on December 24, Christmas Eve of 2011. Our hands are dirty here. James Newsom stole $600 worth of oysters from his second cousin, William Allen. He has pled guilty to a felony, grand larceny, in the Westmoreland Circuit Court. He's going to be sentenced on August 16, a few weeks. On top of the felony for the same event, not separate events, he was charged by VMRC policemen for four separate charges arising from the same oysters he stole. 28.2530, taking oysters after sunset. Yeah, he stole them after sunset, often the way thieves work. But that was the same group. And then there was a regulation, 272040, unlawful to harvest outside of an open area. He stole them, so, and they were in cages. He pled guilty to that. And certainly stealing is about as unlawful as you can get. Two more charges arose out of the same incident in the same oysters. It was a 20-125030 failure to tag oysters. Well, he didn't tag them, the ones that he stole. Not apt to tag them. And finally, the last charge arising out of the same oysters, $600 worth, incidentally, was impeding lawful fishing, and he pled guilty to that. But all four of these VMRC charges were the same oysters and one act of thievery. All this, and I point out to members of the commission that James Newsom was not out on the water on a poaching spree at different oyster grounds. He took some of them he's charged with, two charges came off his own ground, and the other four he stole from the cage, all in one instance. They were not four different places. And according to the police reports, which I have read repeatedly, those charges resulted from stealing these oysters out of the cage. And I had seen this report that your officer gave to you, and I point out one thing that immediately said the foul language in that, there's not one word of foul language in there from this gentleman. And as the officer said, when he was confronted with this, he confessed, I did it, I was wrong. He has an explanation, not an excuse, which I'll go into in a minute. But if you look at the report and parse it out, he's charged with stealing these oysters from Mr. Allen and selling them to this Mr. Wright, but there's no other instance of him stealing them there. All the same incident. Now, if we look at the factors, gentlemen, lady, gentlemen, under Code Section 28.232, evidence of repeated or habitual disregard. Well, here, this all occurred October and December. If you look at Mr. Colonel Rhodes' letter, and you really go, holy mackerel, that's a lot of charges, but they're 2 days, and two are on his ground, and four or stealing the oysters from Mr. Allen. So he's not out stealing oysters here, there, these other and everywhere. These other charges, other four, are related to the Allen oysters. Abusive conduct, you heard what your officer said. You see him sitting over here, and if you talk with him, he's not an abusive person. He readily confessed to what he was doing. The severity of the damage, he owes Mr. Allen $600, and that has to be paid. One final point about Mr. Newsom, and Ed Arnest can confirm this. He's a close friend of Mr. Newsom's, their business partners and so forth. He's sort of a stepfather to him, frankly. Mr. Newsom had a pretty serious drug habit. about a year ago. He went to the McShin Foundation. I don't know if you've heard of the McShin Foundation. It's an outstanding treatment center in Richmond. And he was there for several months. Didn't go smoothly. He had a relapse at the beginning, but he finished the program. He was there for several months from September to March. I've got a letter from the McShin Foundation that says he successfully finished the program except for their aftercare. That's not an excuse. I want to make it clear. That's not an excuse. It's an explanation. But alcohol and drugs is never an excuse. It's often a source of the problem, but it's never an excuse. I asked the commission to consider, I know that there's been a recommendation of two-year suspension, but I ask you to look at the overall report that the first two were off the ground that he owns. He didn't steal those from anybody. He made a mistake in part going out to look and get two bushels, and then we get a permit. Mr. Arnes will tell you that's what he said. And the other charges all relate to stealing from one man, not poaching all over the place. Now, mind you, taking even one oyster from somebody that belongs to somebody else, that's not right. That's wrong. And he's accepted total responsibility for that. And I ask you all to take into account all the facts that he's accepted responsibility from the beginning. The Commonwealth was put to no burden in having to prove the case against Mr. Newsom. He pled guilty at every turn on all charges in Westmoreland. And he's wrong. He's here. He knows he has to pay for it. I would tell you that he's 33, never done anything but work on the water all his life. No prior history of two or three years ago stealing oysters from anyone. This letter that Mr. Rhodes sent him on April 4 is his history. This is only means of livelihood. I ask you to consider a different level of suspension, considering all of the facts, and condition any decision you make upon his paying the full restitution to Mr. Allen. That has to be done. I understand. He understands. I've talked with him at length about this. I've talked to Mr. Arnest about it, that he needs to be taught a lesson, that your laws and regulations must be obeyed, and if you don't, you pay, you lose your license. But with all due respect, given these facts, I ask you to consider that you do something less than 2 years. He is not a serial violator. He was a bad guy that on December 24 did something bad, and I'm sorry that the report, the overall report of the officer, which is, we don't deny the accuracy, is colored by Mr. Wright's rather blatant disregard of what the laws are and in rather colorful language. But that language is not Mr. Newsom's language, and there's nothing in here that shows his blatant disregard. Made a wrong but honest effort on October 18, and he needs to pay for that. He already has, in one respect, but pay here again. And the other is all these other violations all relate to his one act of stealing, not five different acts, not the felony and four more. Thank you very much.
Let me see if I understand. The first two charges involve taking some oysters off of private ground, which he leases.
Is it
that same ground that is in a condemned area?
It is.
And there were two bushels involved.
Pardon?
Two bushels of oysters. What was the intended use of those two bushels?
One for Ed Arnes and one for him. Mr. Arnes would tell you that he got those two bushels, and he tongued them up. And he called Ed Arnes on his cell phone and said, hey, these look pretty good. He said, well, bring a bushel for me and a bushel for you, and we'll look at them, and if they're as good as you say they are, we're going to get a permit. We'll get a dredging permit or permit to take them up. And when he gets them to the dock, there you'll be one.
Were the two bushels intended to be sold by the individuals, or?
Mr. Arnes, he told him to bring them to him. They were going to go together, and Mr. Arnes couldn't go. So
He goes out there, he gets them up, and he calls Ed and says, hey, these look good. Ed says, well, get a bushel for you and a bushel for me and bring them ashore. If they look, you know, like you say they do, we'll get a permit to judge them up. And Ms. Darnes will be perfectly happy to testify to that. So that's what happened.
Other questions? Mr. Breeden?
Just a question. Mr. Breeden, the last item is December 29, but does that relate back to the 24th?
That troubled me too, Mr. Fox, and I had to look. But if you look at the original warrant, which I got, it's in your packet that I passed up, it's December 24. All of them are December 24. The 20 summons 114332 for unlawful fishing under 28.2903.1, I believe it is dated December 24. So they're all the same.
Yeah, the summons number is one digit off of one of the others, so that
right. And
came out of the book.
Puzzle, so I drove up to Montrose and got them all.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions for counsel. Mr. Breeden, you suggested tying the term of the revocation to or conditioning it upon restitution being made. Has that already been included as part of the court's remedy?
Not yet. But I suspect, Mr. Robbins, on August 16, that it will be. But it's no harm in having the agency plus the court doing, is my thinking on that. I think it will be.
And are you stating to us that October 18th, when this violation occurred, was the first time that your client had taken oysters off that ground?
Yes, sir. They just leased it in 2010.
And so October 18th, 2011, was the first and only day that your client took oysters off that.
I don't believe, and I can ask Mr. Arnes if they've gotten a permit before, but I don't think so. But he says no. That was my understanding, but I wanted to confirm.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When that ground was purchased, was it condemned at the time that he purchased the ground?
That's a question which I think merits comment. When it was originally leased from the Commonwealth, the condemned sign was up the creek from this 40.67 acres, up Gardner Creek. Later, sometime, and I don't know when, neither does Mr. Arnes or Mr. Newsom, your staff, for bona fide reasons, I'm sure, moved the condemned sign down the creek below the oyster shore. In other words, the sign was originally above this oyster shore, and later, after they got it, it was moved down to the mouth of Gardner Creek. But the problem they ran into is when they come into the creek, their boat's up above, it's, you know, up the creek. So they don't come out into the mouth and see the yellow condemned sign out there, or pike or whatever color it is now. They don't see that sign, so they just went out to their oyster shore, or he did, James, and took the two bushels up. But the sign had been moved down, so that it did include the 40.67 acres and been moved down the creek. A violation because the 40.67 acres was within the condemned area. Earlier it had not been.
Mr. Beck?
What is the distance between where the sign was originally and where it was placed?
I'll ask Mr. Arnesty, but I couldn't tell you. Do you want to put him under oath, Mr. Green?
Are you going to have anything further to say?
I'm going to have him confirm that the facts right. that I told you about October 18 are as he...
All right, if you'd come on up, we'll swear you in. Do you swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so if you got?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Edward Arnes.
Where do you live, Mr. Arnes?
Hague, Virginia.
Right. And do you and James Newsom leased this 40.67
yes.
acres. All right. And what happened that led to James on October 18th, 2011, going out there? Did you and he discuss it before or what?
Yes. James had planted some oysters there that actually came out of Piankatank. They all had a program where he transferred them from Piankatank up to the ground. And they were his oysters, and he'd planted them there and wanted to check them. And talked about it, and I said, we'll go out and check them, you know. And I couldn't go, and he went. And he called me and told me that the horses are looking good. I said, well, get a couple bushels, and we'll look at them and see what, you know, chuck a few of them and see what they look like, and, you know, make a determination what we're going to do then. Not knowing that at the time that the signs had been moved out the creek, we didn't know that the ground was polluted at that time. So.
Now, on the McShin Foundation, you're familiar with the fact that you had a problem?
Yes.
Yes, and just briefly.
He enrolled in the McShin Foundation. We found out he had a drug problem, and he got into the McShin Foundation, which we did a lot of research and found that out, and a good program. Enrolled him in it. He had a setback early on in the program, but he ended up being there for 6 months, and it's an in-house program, and he stayed there for 6 months and completed the program. People are pretty good report on it. So.
Any questions? Thank you. Mr. Breeden, what licenses does Mr. Newsom currently hold?
Yes, to Oyster, but I don't do you have any other licenses?
Right now, that's my
ordinance
thought.
Right.
Any final questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The matter is before the commission. Ms. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, I have one follow-up question for staff. The presentation that we've had has been relative to these violations on October 18th and December 24th. Does the individual have any history of prior conservation violations?
Yes, he does. I remember on the packet there, too, I think he was in possession of uncoated crabs, which was several years ago.
We can see that in the brief. That's right.
And according to the officer that controls that area in Chodic, where this took place, garbage crews and so on.
They were moved, you're saying they were moved downstream.
Yes, sir, and that was by Shellfish Sanitation Health Department.
So a larger area of the creek was now condemned at that point.
Yeah.
Mr. Fox.
Is it customary when the Department of Shellfish Sanitation moves one of those signs to have some public notice? Or is it just the sign itself?
There are public notices, and our officers are the ones that are in charge of placing those signs using GPS systems, so they're very accurate.
But there's public notice. What kind of public notice is there?
Well, it's on the Internet. You can bring it up and see the charts where it used to be, the history of the condemned area, and all such as that. Public notice isn't being posted or anything.
Nothing in the local newspaper or anything like that.
Nothing.
It's a rule. Okay.
Mr. Beck?
Was there a permit required to remove those first two bushels?
Yes, sir, it was.
Well, would somebody not know that a permit was required?
If they did know it was a condemned area, if they knew it was a condemned area, they would know that a permit
was. But if there was not a condemned area, they could get them without a permit.
Yes,
Officer Randy.
The issue with taking the two bushels was that came off of private ground, and those bushels weren't hand-tongued. Those were dredged off of the private ground, okay? When they're going to dredge off that private ground, he needs a dredge permit, whether it's condemned or not. He needs a dredge permit to take those oysters off of that privately leased ground. So a permit was needed to take those, whether
that's
it was...
That's my question.
Yes.
That was the first charge there.
Yes, sir.
What's the pleasure of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've heard detailed testimony about the violations, and I appreciate the report that we've had also from the individual's counsel to hear that the individual has accepted responsibility essentially throughout this process for what he had done. I appreciate the concern about the notification surrounding the condemnation of the condemned area. And yet there is a basic level of responsibility, I think, that goes along with harvesting privileges in the Commonwealth. And whether you're planting oysters or working on public or private bottom, there has to be some level of awareness and responsibility for being aware of where the condemned areas are, I think, as just a basic level of responsibility. And similarly, on the other side of this, what happened on December 24th, there's a public interest in some of this, but there's also a private interest. This crossed into some of the private in terms of the theft of oysters off private ground. But in doing that, there were violations of Virginia regulations as well. So it seems to me that these are serious offenses that reflect perhaps a lack of responsibility with respect to abiding by those requirements that are incumbent upon harvesting in Virginia. And the one issue of the condemned area, we've heard that it was a one-time event, and yet it is a serious issue because if that product were to be harvested in that way and make its way into the public marketplace, it'd be a public safety issue. So I do have significant concerns about it. I think a revocation is in order. I think under the circumstances, I might be comfortable with a revocation on the order of perhaps 12 months rather than 24, but I'd be open to hearing from other members about that.
Any other comments? Ms. Hayden?
I agree. I'm the condemned area as a matter of public health, public safety. I mean, it doesn't take but a small portion of those to affect somebody's life. I agree with you. If you wanted to turn that into a motion, support
me.
Well, I just also agree with you all on the seriousness of taking oysters from a condemned area. And if it was only a quarter of a mile downstream, I think there's every reason that he could have known. Whether he did know or not, it would be logical to me that even if he brought the boat down the stream, that occasionally he would run down and would have seen the sign. I guess the more serious issue for me is the stealing of oysters on December 24. And any way you look at it, though, you've got two very serious problems here on two different dates. And I see no justification for going to zero. But I would be comfortable with the 12 months.
Mr. Robin.
Mr. Chairman, a question for our counsel, and that is whether or not, just thinking about the comment that the applicant's counsel had about restitution and somehow suggesting that the commission consider requiring restitution for those oysters that were stolen, is that something that the commission has the ability to do, or is that something left to the court?
Well, I appreciate the recommendation. I have concerns about the commission's jurisdiction to be able to do that. The commission doesn't have any common law powers like courts do. So we're bound by the basic law of the commission. And in 28.2.232, which is the statute that governs here, there is really no provision for anything beyond revocation and suspension for a period of up to 2 years with certain factors that the commission must consider in making its determination. But if the flip side of it is, if the gentleman wishes to have that as part of the condition, it certainly wouldn't be anything to make an appeal. But again, I think it goes beyond the commission's jurisdiction to be able to do it.
Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, on that advice, I think I would not include that in the motion since it seems to be outside of our authority. I would offer a motion that we suspend the commercial fishing license of James Calvin Newsom for a period of, or off all commercial fishing licenses in the Commonwealth of James Calvin Newsom for a period of 12 months.
Starting today?
Starting today.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Haney. Comments on the motion?
I have one quick question.
Barrett?
This taking of these illegal oysters on December of 2011, is that after you, your client spent 6 months, or has that happened before he spent
before.
This? Okay.
He went into the Shen Foundation before 2012, end of March 2013.
Okay. Very good.
With respect to Mr. Robin's concern, I am virtually positive the $600 restitution will be the condition in the circuit court order.
Thank you. We ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion opposed, no. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.